I was good, bro. I was just checking in with you.
What's good, y'all? Another week. We are back. It's your boy, Pat, and I got my guy, my friend, my homie, Mr.
Qualified. What's going on, baby?
And this week, we have a special guest, Quals.
Absolutely. Y'all, we have a very, very special guest. Me and this guest go way back to undergrad. She is in the space of love, self-love, mental healing. Mm-hmm. Healing in general, love advocate, you know, all these great things. We're this conversation has endless, you know, opportunities where we can go at this point. But I will allow our guest to introduce herself, and then yeah, she will kind of jump in and kind of guide, you know, this conversation. But yeah, no, I'm excited. But let the people know who you are and what you do, and then yeah, start the conversation however you would like.
What's up, y'all? Thank you for having me. My name is Tyler. You can call me Ty. I also go by the Heart Softener because I help people soften their hearts. I do that through a number of ways. You know, I do a little bit of mindfulness coaching, meditation guidance, podcasting, content creation. I mean, the list goes on. I'm multifaceted. Shout out to God. But at the end of the day, the mission is the same: to spread love, to help people connect with themselves, to help people actually live their lives. Don't just, you know, let life be what it is. Like, be aware, be intentional. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm thankful. And I love that I'm on with Black men. I have to say that because, you know, we need these conversations. So thank you for inviting me and just being open to the questions. So y'all want to just like,
yeah, just start.
All right. The first question, I'm very much, I think we need to talk about it. And it is, what do you believe is a top contributor to poor mental health these days and why? I'm happy to share my answer, but I'm gonna let y'all go first and then I'll go.
For sure. Pat, you want to go first?
Nah, you can set it up and then I'll knock it down.
Top contributor, that's tough. I mean, I feel like it can be a multitude of things. It depends on where you're at in life. I think it depends on how you were raised. I think that's probably the biggest thing, because I think that a lot of course, it's not to discredit mental health issues that arise like when we are adults, but I think a lot of triggers and trauma and things that we experience and deal with in our youth turn into mental health issues ultimately, especially us not understanding exactly what we may be dealing with, what we're experiencing. And then I think the transition, like as we get older, you're constantly unlearning so much that sometimes the unlearning is the triggering part, is the traumatic part. That's the part that kind of sets in the mental health issues, because now you go from feeling like everything was supposed to be a certain way to now you're realizing that, okay, it could be a multitude of ways. And now I have to decide which way makes more sense for me, which way is more beneficial, you know, to me in terms of the energy I give it, you know, how I'm living my life, the role it plays, all of that good stuff. So I would say if I had to try to name a top contributor, it would probably be like childhood trauma. If I had to name one, at least I feel like that's one of the top for sure. Absolutely.
For me, it's like, I don't really have a word for it, but it's like how okay you are with your situation currently. Mm-hmm. Like, and that could be how okay you are with whatever you're looking at, whether that's financial situation, your mental state. You know, you could have all the money in the world, but if you're still not okay with certain things that may have happened in the past or whatever, it's just how okay you are in that moment.
Mm-hmm. So like maybe self-acceptance?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for sure. I would say a top contributor is maybe, I want to say social media, but it's kind of bigger than that. It's like, I just think we have access to too much information. Like, it's just, it's too much to keep track of. We have our own personal lives and family details to be dealing with. Next thing you know, you get up in the morning, you're supposed to be prepping yourself for your day. But if you scroll online and you seeing somebody else's business, you wasn't even in that energy. Now you in that energy, you know, taking on their thoughts and their emotions and what's going on. So, you know, on one hand, it's like, okay, social media is great for like connectivity, but these days I feel like it's way too much information. It's so much that we're processing and so fast too. Like, are we actually processing everything, you know? So I feel like to a degree, social media and just having too much at our fingertips.
People
don't know what to like prioritize or even how to sort through it all, you know?
I definitely agree with that, because I was just having a conversation the other day about the weather change. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just was interesting, because I'm like, all right, 60 degrees in the summer is a lot warmer than 60 degrees is in the winter. And I was like, okay, supposedly when we was younger, we learned about the solar system, we learned about the planets and how they rotate and orbit around the sun or whatever. And I was just like, all right, so in the wintertime, is the Earth just happening to be rotating even further than what it already was rotating, if that's really what happened? I don't know. Everything be conspiracy, so it's like, damn.
Yeah,
what is real? Like, what's real at this point?
Stevie, what's up?
Got it quick. Is seasonal depression real for y'all?
I had that conversation too, bro. And I was like, for me, I don't think it's real for me personally. But I think that it can't, the weather change and everything, sad music, Drake just dropped. I mean, influence, what are you doing? You know, like, you in the house, you it's darker earlier, it's no light, so then you playing sadder music, you know, it's what you're bringing into your environment. Yeah. For real, that affects you, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree. I would never invalidate it and say that it's not real. I don't think that I like to look at it in that way, maybe because like I'm a fan of the fall. I kind of prefer the hunker down, like be in the house approach in general. But I do think it's more so about what you bring into your space. Cause like, yeah, as your environment changes, maybe the tone of certain things change around you, but it doesn't mean that the energy or spirit more specifically has to change. Cause when you talk about depression, I think that's more of a spirit thing. And I think that can happen at any given time. I mean, you can be depressed in the summer, you know, for sure. So, but seasonal depression has been a topic and a lot of people speak to it. And that may have to do also with just the end of the year always seems to have a lot crunched into it, because we go from summer and then depending on where you are, fall is like fleeting. It doesn't really last long. And then we're immediately into winter. We immediately get to Thanksgiving. A month after Thanksgiving is Christmas. Then it's New Year's. And it's this whole sort of like transition and new season that happens once. Honestly, really, once about Halloween, give or take, once that time hit, it's real, like everything happens like in the blink of an eye. I think that's an aspect of the depression, because I think that can be when life moves the fastest for the general population. But yeah, I do think it is about the energy that you bring into your space at any given point in time. But during the fall season or winter seasons, people are more likely to kind of bring a softer, more just a different type of energy that's more related to transition and dealing with that and navigating that I think leads to seasonal depression for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I feel like seasonal depression is real, but I feel like there's multiple factors to it. Like one, we literally need the sun. Like we literally need the sun and we get a lot less of it, you know, during this time of year. Also kind of to your point, about just like the transitional period, like this is the time of year where everybody's like, did I do enough this year, you know, or like what are my goals for next year? So that just that pressure I feel like can start to, you know, make you feel like, oh my gosh, like I'm not where I want to be or whatever. Also something that popped up that I'm just now thinking about, but like typically that holiday season is the time where everybody's with their family. Everybody don't have great relationships with their family. So, you know, it's less invitations to the kickbacks and the barbecues. And it's more like, all right, I'm gonna just chill with my family. But like, what if you don't got that, you know? So that's something to think about too. But Yeah, I think it's multiple factors, but you, at the end of the day, you always have power about like what you bring into your space and like what you focus on. Not to say that like that completely gets rid of the depression, but you have to be intentional. You know, for me, this time of year, it do get darker earlier. I'm like, all right, look, like I'm gonna make sure I go for that walk during the day when the sun is out. I'm gonna make sure I, you know, have my books in the corner that I, you know, really like to read or that I'm feeling good about. I have my shows. I call my friends. Like, I'm like, nah, I'm gonna make a plan so that I'm gonna be good, you know. But it is about like what you bring into your space. Don't just claim. Be careful not to just claim that over yourself. Like, up every year, you know, I start feeling down, so we just gonna lean into it. Like, nah, hold on.
Yeah.
You know, like, right. Hold on. It's some other options for us out here.
For sure. Yeah. No. For sure. Sorry. I know I kind of interrupted with that question, but what was the next question that you
had? Yeah. No, that's good. The next question. What is something that you are releasing in this season? What is something that you're making room for? So if y'all need an example, I can go first, but y'all can go too.
Pat, I'm going to let you take this one first.
Oh, for sure. I'm just trying to think. I'm like, am I like letting go of anything currently?
Do you feel like you need to or you should? Like, is there a pressure to?
I'm not blocking anything.
Mm.
That's real.
That's what I'm doing this season. Like, I'm not blocking anything. Like, whatever comes to me, I'm just taking it in, taking it head on, like, whatever it is. And that's in the sense of, like, anything for real. Like, job opportunity, love, interest, whatever. Like, whatever comes to me, like, all right, let me see what it's about type shit at least.
Absolutely.
That's real. I feel like I'm releasing something in the season. I think, but it's weird because I haven't really defined it yet. But I think something, I don't want to call it a struggle, but I know something that I've battled and something that I've tried to figure out is how do I balance being this empath that I am, but also understanding that I'm in a place in life where I got to be able to make decisions for me and not be held back by thinking about how it affects another person. And so I think releasing this, I think I've always dealt with this idea that like I owe it to people in general to be this person based on things in my life and relationships in my life where I feel like I'm trying to prove something. I'm trying to prove that I'm this guy. I'm trying to prove that I'm not, you know, a certain guy in my life, you know. So I think with that comes this idea that, oh, I have to be there all the time. I have to show up for everybody else, even if it means not showing up for myself. And so I think I'm trying to release this responsibility. That's probably the word. Release the responsibility of like to other people, like release that from me and start being open to like, no, okay, like what do you want? Like, what is it that you are looking to gain? And that doesn't always mean the question is going to be easier to answer, but at least I know I'm answering it for me. So I feel like I'm in a season where I'm making that transition of releasing the responsibility to others in regards to decisions I make and just being more intentional about doing things for me and ultimately like taking care of myself.
Yeah, that's good. And that's challenging, right? Like, because you have to kind of reprogram yourself. Like, at the end of the day, like, everything that you're pouring into only benefits when you're good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you got to take care of you. And what about, like, what you are making room for? Or did I say that? Yeah, what you're making room for. I know you're releasing mm-hmm. something, but what are you welcoming? What are you calling into this season of your life?
I would say I think I'm actually calling my purpose into my life mm-hmm. at this point. Okay. I won't say that it's something that I've like ignored or like not that I haven't been listening for, but I think that it just so happens that this transition aligns with while I'm removing that responsibility, I'm also understanding that this is the time where I need to kind of stand the most tall in what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. Like if this is supposed to be the grassroots of whatever my life and career trajectory is, I'd rather make those sacrifices now at in my late 20s. So by the time I get to mid 30, by the time I hit 40, like good. You know what I'm saying? In regards to like I made my tough decisions early. Like you'll always have things that you may not regret, but you look back on, it's always going to be what ifs, or it's always going to be if this goes this way, if this goes that way. But I'd rather make those decisions now. So I think I'm making room for, okay, no, make that decision. We going to see. You never know. And there's always room down the line to adjust. But don't shoot yourself in the foot now by not making the decision, especially if it's with consideration to or because of another person or another entity, and it's not you making the decision for yourself. So I would say I'm making room for that, like that confidence to kind of come through, that like to not run away from what am I passionate about? What do I want to do? Like just let that exist and be and see what happens, see what the reaction is, see what the response is, and then decide, you know, whether that's something you want to continue or not. Like, you know, don't make the decision before you see what it, you know, what it may bring, type of deal. So I would say I'm making more room for that.
Love that. Love that. What about you, Pat? Are you making room for anything in particular?
Nothing particular or specific. I'm just accepting, making room as far as like, I feel like the past 3 months, I kind of been doing the work, I guess, to then now be like, all right, like I can accept it. But yeah, over this past couple of months, I've just been taking a lot of inner looks at myself. And then also just what I really been focused on, mm-hmm. and what I think I've been doing, and then the reality of the situation. Like analyzing a lot of situations that's just happened within the last year and realizing like, damn, certain stuff that's happened, it's like, yeah, situation, during that situation, I may have looked at it from the perspective of it was on that person or that person was in the wrong or whatever. But also realizing that, okay, that relationship might have just ran its course, you know, friendship or whatever. That person might not have been wrong. I may have been in an emotional state. Just realizing how to adjust and go about things now. Because everybody that I have in my life now is people that I want to keep in my life. So shit like that.
Come on, accountability. We love to see it. We love to see it. Did y'all want me to answer the question too?
Oh yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Something I am releasing in this season is actually desperation. I feel like for pandemic years, I was just like, oh my gosh, I gotta be this full-time entrepreneur and I gotta make it. I gotta hurry up, you know? And like, nah, it's that ain't it. You know, my purpose is my life's work. It's not going to happen in a couple of years. This is what I'm supposed to be doing over time, and it's going to evolve. So I don't need to be desperate about it. It's already written, you know, I just need to keep going. Same with relationships. Like how can I put it? I'm like a recovering people pleaser, if you will. And I'm trying to kind of like you, Steven, just prioritize myself, be a little more selfish, you know, because again, we think that we're doing other people and opportunities a favor by neglecting ourselves. And in fact, we're doing the opposite. You know what I mean? So yeah, I say that to say I'm releasing desperation across the board. I don't need to be desperate for a person, a place, or a thing. Okay. Amen. I'm making room for just alignment. Like, I just want to be where God want me to be at. Like, I don't want to be nowhere else. That's it. I don't want to force nothing. I don't want to come outside of myself to try to be in a certain space or with certain people. I just want to be where I'm supposed to be at. So that's what I'm making room for. Yeah.
That's real.
Short and sweet, you know. let's see. We got, okay, I love this one. Share a quote, story, memory, etc., that keeps you going during difficult times. Okay, we need to take a couple seconds.
it's different types of difficult times.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I guess one thing that'll always stick with me is sucks that I'm using the person that the person is, I guess. But Tory Lanez, his first tour, I saw him in concert. He's in Chicago. And this was during the time when he's like walking on the crowd and all that shit. But in the middle of his performance, he does probably like a 10-minute inspirational story about like how he came into the music industry and how like he stopped. He didn't make the basketball team, I think, sometime during high school. Dropped out of school. He had like $5 to get some McDonald's and ended up going to the studio, and kind of that's like was the kickoff type shit. Like, and ever since 15, he had just been on that journey. But you, mind you, we hadn't heard Tory until like probably he's 20 something, you know what I'm saying? So it was just telling us that journey, and he was just crying and telling us like, yo, whatever you want to do, like believe it and make it. So whenever I do have moments where like I'm down or it's just like, damn, I don't know when or whatever. Like I think of situations like that, or I think of like Oprah, like, you know, Oprah didn't make it until she was older. Like I think of people that made it when they was older, like shit, Future, shit, Rick Ross, like people like that. And it's like, all right, no, keep going, bro. Like you're going to get it eventually. We don't know when eventually is, but as long as you ain't dead, shit, keep working.
That part, no, that's valid. That's why you got to love the process too. You can't just keep going for the outcome. You got to enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. I think it's two big things for me. I think the first thing is I would say that I've found inspiration in things that I feel like are forever type of things, or things that will kind of live forever. So any artist that I like genuinely like find myself a fan of, or that I'm following in some capacity, it's that story. So for me, my favorite three artists are Cole, Kendrick, and Crit. And all of their stories are similar in their introduction to the industry, and how for all of them, when they got there, the industry wasn't exactly what they thought it was going to be. And they realized that, okay, I'm going to have to find a way to still be myself in this industry. And I think I've always just taken away that if I was able to find them, or if their music was able to find me, and they didn't necessarily follow all of the industry norms, then for me and anything that I do, I don't have to necessarily follow all the stereotypical norms, you know, for something to be recognized, accepted, acknowledged, whatever the case may be. But also, probably just because of how it all happened in the timeline, but this is something that always stuck out to me. My uncle, my father's brother, he passed my freshman year of high school. And ironically, the summer around that time before I went to college, I was just visiting him as you typically visit people, you know, before you go off to college and whatnot. And we was having a conversation, and with like somebody who I was talking to at the time, he just said this like really profound thing that you don't really understand how profound it is until later. But he was really just like, in essence, he was essentially saying like, because I was 18, you know, talking about, you know, I love this girl, you know, from high school, you know what I'm saying? And so for my uncle, he's just kind of like, you don't really like, basically in so many words, you don't really know what love is. But the way he said it, it was just really like, I'm mad I'm kind of forgetting the wording in this moment, but he was essentially like, there's no way you can like love a person like if you don't like love yourself or know how to show yourself love. And I didn't like, it took me a lot of years to really truly understand what that meant. But a lot of times when things get tough, I just think about, because a lot of times I feel like I bring tough moments on myself, or I make tough moments tougher by like holding myself to this super high standard. So I try to remind myself that like there's only so much that you could have done. You know, there's only so much that you are in control of. So whatever you're in control of, if you need to take accountability, so be it. But also find ways to give yourself grace, because not everything is something that you could have changed or that you could have done differently. So I would say those are, in general, those two ideas of not having to be, you know, stereotypical or following a norm, but also, you know, realizing that not everything is in my control, are the thoughts or like those memories attached to those thoughts, or what I try to think back to in tough times.
That's helpful for sure. I feel like something I tell to myself and a lot of people is like, look at your track record. Like, it's easy to get in a new situation and be like, oh my God, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know how to do this. But like, come on, man, you done did some hard stuff before, you know, like, you didn't think you was going to get through that or that or that. and you did, you know. So it's like pairing that knowledge also with grace, because we're constantly evolving and just doing the best we can with what we got, I think is crucial. And that's what I try to do. I ain't perfect, you know. I'm out here, I be preaching and stuff, but I still be having some moments where I'm like, dang, girl, like, get it together. But, you know, it ain't no manual to this stuff. So I think just kind of looking at your track record and also giving yourself that grace is crucial.
Yeah, I agree.
What else we got? How do you know when to walk away from a person or opportunity? And why is it so important to know when to do so?
Oh, I'm definitely letting Pat answer that first.
Hey, why you say that?
I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I feel like do I want to use that word? I don't envy it, but I respect your ability to find a place within yourself to be able to do that when it best benefits you. Because I know I didn't always have it, and I've always seen you have it, even if I didn't maybe understand the foundation of it or what it may have been coming from. I just respected that you actually had the like courage to be like, yeah, no, I'm not about to do that. I don't rock with that. That's not for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I think it took me a while to get to a place where I could confidently be that way. So, yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that. For me, bro, it's always been, I'm a very accepting person. Like, I accept a lot from people. I didn't grow up judging. My mother grew up in the church. She didn't grow up judging, though. Like, she accepted people outside of the church, whatever way you was. Like, she'd embrace you, have a conversation with you, all that. So I grew up like that. But when it comes to disrespect, I just can't take it. And if I feel like certain things reach the level of like, all right, bro, you disrespected me. Like, even if it cannot be direct. But if you're doing something that's putting me in harm, that's disrespectful. If you're doing something that could potentially put me in harm, that's disrespectful. If you're doing something that you wouldn't want me to do, that's disrespectful. So if you cross any of these lines, fuck you. I don't really care. Like, at that point, like, shit, you brought it upon yourself, you know? Like, I'm a very calm person, so if you take me to that level, bro, you deserve whatever you get at that point. Like, I let people know my levels, you feel me? And then once you cross that shit, it is what it is.
Tyler said, can we get the bullhorn? She's like,
we got some effects.
You can get a button.
Because not for real, if you don't mind me.
No, go ahead.
Okay, because I feel like part of the struggle, you know, when for people who don't have the ability to walk away fast, for lack of better expression, it's like not knowing that they're being disrespected, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know if people have that defined for themselves. And I think it's so important to get that, especially if you're, you know, a giver or a loving person. Like, you really got to learn how to be like, all right, no, like, this is too far. And that takes some practice. It can take some practice. Speaking from experience.
So. No, for sure. It wasn't something that I had, like, right away. Like, I feel like in high school, I wasn't like that. Like, Quaz, you probably can attest to that. In high school, I feel like I stayed in situations longer than what I should have been in. Like, granted, some situations might have ended sooner than what the fuck they should have, but shit. I definitely stayed in some shit that I shouldn't have been in. It was a journey. Like, I had to go through my bumps in a row. I had to bump my head a few times, and then, like, hey, like, yeah, nah, like, hey, bro, just stay your ground, like, stop being in these situations. Probably that long situation, you know, that I was in after that shit, then it was like,
yeah, that's real. And I feel like I feel like the situation that I'm still, you know, like, you know, navigating stuff from, like, absolutely, in regards to, there's always something that just has the ability to put a lot in perspective, whether it be because of where you at in life at that point, whether it be because of whatever you experience. And I think that the idea of, like, standing my ground, I've always personally, I've struggled with it, because I've always kind of confused or been, had this internal conflict of standing my ground, meaning or equating to me not being understanding or not being considerate or not being I had this weird idea that like if like okay if I stand my ground, then I'm falling into the stereotype of what most people believe men to be, even Black men in that sense. Because by standing my ground, I'm not being open to conversation, or I'm shutting off, or I'm closing down. So I think a lot of my bumps, you know, my bumps in the road, like me bumping my head, was understanding there's this separation between like, well, there are layers to, of course, relationships, like whether that be, you know, platonic or romantic. But also this idea that like there can be a situation where, you know, physically maybe things are great, but emotionally things aren't. And like you can't overcompensate, you know, for one or the other. So I think it's also those situations where it's like standing your ground is more so about, okay, like in totality, from a general perspective, this isn't beneficial, because while this may be great, this isn't, and this doesn't outweigh this, no matter how much you may want it to or how much you think it does. So this not being attended to is a problem, you know. But through, you know, my own triggers and traumas, I think I just had to get to a point where, or still getting to a point where, it's okay for me to feel this way. It's okay for you to feel the way you feel. May not be on the same page. That may not ever happen. But I also cannot allow myself to take any more hits or disrespect just because how we feel doesn't align. Like if I feel one way and you don't really get it, and you feel one way and I don't really get it, there should at least be like respect there to say, okay, you feel that way, I respect that. I don't understand it, I don't know what to make of it, but I respect it. So I think that respect aspect is huge. And at least in regards to standing your ground, I think that I've definitely dealt with not standing my ground and seeing how that can definitely equate to and correlate to or introduce disrespect, even if it is unintentional. Mm-hmm. But that's something that's in your control. You always have the ability to let somebody know, hey, that's not okay. Because mm-hmm. you have to, and more so by action than word, you have to let them know, like, no, this not okay. Whether that be this conversation ain't getting entertained anymore, or this, you know, whatever type of interaction we were having, that's not happening anymore, whatever the case may be. So yeah, I think that may always be a lesson, you know, in some capacity, at least for the majority of people. But I think that's how I've kind of dealt with that and kind of learned that lesson of when to walk away and how, knowing that that's beneficial for me. I think that's been my kind of like personal lesson for it, or in regard to it.
No, I really, really relate to that. I used to think that standing my ground was like mean, or, you know, like, I don't know, I'm letting them down by doing that. But like, what am I saying to myself, you know, by staying in that situation that is truly, you know, not benefiting me? I think like empathy is important. We want to keep empathy, you know, but also like empathy looks like, I see your perspective. Also, I don't align with it, so we gotta part our ways. and it's okay. Give them the opportunity to go do what they do and grow and whatever. Give yourself the opportunity to do what you do and grow. We be clinging to things sometimes, which I get. Shit. You know, it feel good, it feels safe, you know. But at the end of the day, it can be harmful. It really can, you know. No, for sure. And we teach people how to treat us if we keep accepting disrespect and letting them know, oh, well, maybe we could work this out, and well, maybe they finna keep testing that ain't it.
I know one thing that's been said a lot lately is like, give people grace, but sometimes walking away is giving people grace too.
Facts.
Like facts. Sometimes you can have that conversation where you tell the motherfuckers like, hey, it's not okay, and that person just may not be able to control their urge to do whatever you telling them is not okay. Maybe they can't control it. Maybe they aren't okay mentally, because we are like, shit, it's not just about you being at a certain age or being in a certain time or whatever. Shit, your partner or whoever, your friend or whoever you're involved with at the time is also in that same state probably. Yeah. So shit, sometimes you got to walk away from these situations, and y'all may be able to come back later and be like, hey, during that time, I was still going through childhood traumas, trying to maneuver through that, and I couldn't handle the pressures of being there in the capacity that you needed me to be there for you. And if both of y'all then grew and came, you know, came up from where y'all was, that'd at least be a conversation where y'all can accept that and continue on y'all lives. Y'all might not be together, y'all might not be friends after that, but at least it'd be like, all right, like motherfuckers say they always searching for clarity, or like, what is it called? Closure after relationships and shit like that. Closure may not come until 10 years down the road. Ooh, but seek closure when you can get it, though.
Question about that. Is there a definition of closure? Like for you two, do you all have a definition of what closure is or what it means? Or is closure just this idea of like whenever the reality of whatever happened is accepted? And it's not a decision that we may always make on our own volition. Like that might be something that hit us later, no matter how hard we try. Like, do y'all have any feelings or like a strong definition about that?
But you can go ahead.
I do, just real quick. Like, I'm gonna say this. Anytime I have requested closure from a person, I already knew that. Like, I already knew what it was. I didn't need to actually ask for the closure. But and it didn't really make me feel any better, admittedly. But I do, and I do also think that there is an ability to give yourself closure. Like, hey, you know, I accept that this situation isn't what I thought it was. All right, cool. Like, I can move on. But you know, we'd be wanting answers and extra details. So it's fair, you know, seeking that closure is not a bad thing. I just think a lot of us already know the answer, though, low key. Like, whether it's okay, we just not for each other, this person don't respect me or whatever, like I think low key we'd be having an answer.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't think I ever like seeked it out type shit. Like, I don't think I ever seeked it out. One time I did I hit a bitch about some shit, and she's just like, her response was some bullshit, so I ain't even get it from that situation. I was just like, bitch, I never got the closure that I needed from that situation. Like, you didn't even give me that, you didn't give me the answer. Like, I have no idea why that situation ever. I guess I'll never know. Fuck it. But yeah, in all my other situations, I feel like I accepted it. Like, I didn't have to seek closure. I just accepted it. And it's like, all right, once I accepted it, it's over. It's over.
Yeah. Yeah. When closure came up, because it is such a topic, and because that's always a part of the conversation of whether you should get it or shouldn't. Tyler, I completely agree that for a lot of people, it has to be your decision. If you feel like it's worth having a conversation with a person, cool. But the idea of like, what is, you pretty much know, or you have an idea, or if nothing else, you know how you feel, right? So it's really a matter of, do you feel the same or not? Because if you don't feel the same, then it ain't so much about closure as much as it like, okay, we just don't want the same thing. We not at the same place, you know. But sometimes those conversations can be a bit more intricate because it's like, okay, I may want the same thing, but I can't do that right now. So this may not be,
yeah,
closure. Self
conversation too,
you know. But I'm saying like there's layers to all this. So it really depends on the person, who you're dealing with, that relationship, whatever all of that encompasses. Like, you are the one that ultimately has to decide, how do I want to approach whatever closure looks like from wherever, you know, like we are, you know, type of deal. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. I'm trying not to lose my thought that I had about it. I want to say one more thing. There we go. Okay. So I think for me specifically, the reason why I didn't, why I requested closure, but I didn't need it, is because these people intentionally like was mistreating me. You don't really need closure with that. Now, if it's like, okay, life is happening and like, y'all don't know what's, you know, y'all need to get clear with each other. Okay, cool. Like, that's closure. But if it's mistreatment, like, people know what they're doing, and you don't have to, like, I feel like we'd be trying to understand too much. Like, it's not our responsibility what's really going on with them, unless they are self-aware enough and loving enough to tell us and let us in. But we ain't about to be begging for information. You don't want to share. You know what I'm saying? That's my little piece.
That might be the most prophetic word. People be knowing. People be knowing. People know.
They be knowing. And we be like, oh, well, maybe they don't know. Nah, they know, bro.
They definitely hip to it, for sure.
Yeah. But people don't be knowing.
Okay.
Because people don't be knowing. And okay, so that because I've been approached from the other side. I've been approached seeking closure, and I'm like, what are you seeking closure for? Right. Like, how don't you understand? Like, how aren't you on the same page? Like, how some people don't be knowing, bro. Like, some people be in a whole nother stratosphere as far as thinking, and you just like, damn, you really just in la la land, just picking daisies and smelling rosy
on the Lulu Island.
Is it that they don't know, or are they playing like they don't know?
Okay,
now I'm not a woman, so I don't know, but I've experienced this multiple times where it's like I'm doing something. Undefined relationships. We just leave it there. Undefined relationships.
Right.
Things are happening. Time is moving. Time is progressing. Things have stayed at the same level in my head in which where they started at. Women don't think like that, of course. I understand that. You know what I'm saying? So 6 months, 9 months, a year down the road, situation hasn't changed. In my eyes, situation is getting deeper for them. So when that situation ends on a sense of, yo, okay, I understand you want more than this. All right, cool. I'm going to walk away from this. You have a great life. I care about you, but I care about you enough to walk away. I care about you enough so that you want the things that you want. Cool. I would rather you go seek those things with people that can give you that. I'm not in a position where I can give you that, or I don't necessarily even want to give you that, which is another, I'm never going to say that to them type shit. I ain't trying to hurt feelings, but it's just at the same time, it's like, it may be that, like, I'm just not going to give you that. Like, I don't see that with you. You're a great person. Might have some great, yeah, you feel me? Let that breathe. But outside of that, it'd be like, yeah, nah, it's not going to work. But then it'd be like, oh, well, I don't get, like, you don't care about, you don't love me. I may love you, care about you. I may think you're beautiful. I may think you're the greatest woman in the world. But if I don't think that you're the one for me, I am not going to be with you.
Tyler, do you have any more questions for us, either from the list you had or just any questions you want to ask two black men with decent perspectives that you got at your disposal?
Thank you.
I appreciate that too, bro. My opinion is decent.
Does commitment always feel like pressure to y'all? Or is it just if it's not initiated by y'all?
That's a great question. I don't think commitment always feels like pressure, at least for me. The idea of it has to come from me. I think the pressure aspect for me comes with expectations. Like, because I feel like there are levels to commitment, right? So, and I feel like communication is key within all that regardless. So I think pressure only starts to creep in where it's like, okay, what are you expecting of me or looking for me to do? And that's something that I've either, you know, expressed like, hey, I can't do that right now. Or, hey, I don't think I can give you that. But it's this idea of that's still what's expected. Even if you're not saying it, you know, verbally, that's where I feel pressure. The idea of commitment doesn't equate to pressure for me because I don't see committing to one person as this like in the sense of marriage, it's a decision, but in the sense of just like who I want to be with, like if it's not me being in a space where I don't feel like I need to be with anybody and it's just a space of me actually making the choice, then it's just what do I want to commit to? You know what I'm saying? And that in itself is not, I wouldn't use pressure to define that. I think pressure is created from expectations of what somebody thinks you should be doing, what they want you to do, and how that balance of what they want you to do versus what you can do, how that's managed and navigated. But that's, I don't think commitment equals pressure to me specifically. I think it does to some men though.
I fuck with that you said it the way that you said it, because I feel like pressure is the correct way to put it for me. I don't feel like it's fear. I don't feel like it's anything else except pressure, because on some levels you're going to feel that, in a sense of like that uncertainty is pressure. The desire of marriage is pressure. The desire to pick the right one is pressure. So as an overthinker, which I am, shit, it's the reason why I don't commit. Like, it's the reason why I have such a hard time. Like, all right, yeah, no, I'll make you my girl. I'm not sure if I want to. I'm not sure if you're a liar. I'm not sure. Like, I have so many question marks in my head to where it's like, all of this shit is pressure. Like, what you gonna do, bro? Like, if you keep her around, expectations is gonna raise. Then eventually she gonna be expecting you to commit. If you decrease in seeing her or kicking it with her or any of that, then the level of relationship that you have is going to decline. So what do you going to lose in this situation? So you got to either, so it's like the pressure to then make a quick decision. All right, then now I commit to her. But are you even in the capacity to be able to commit to somebody for real? Like, so for me, I think pressure is the right word. And I think, yeah, there is some level of pressure there.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
That is. Yeah. Something else that comes to mind too, as I'm thinking about relationships since we're here, is like, I think more people need to understand why they want a relationship, if that is what they want, you know, because some people go into it and they just like, oh, I just want somebody to affirm me. Like, they might not say that, but yeah, in the back of their mind, it's like, I just need somebody to like, let me know that I am enough or I'm attractive. And it's like, that can't be the reason. Like, it can't be. It may be to a degree, but like, cause obviously we want to be, you know, affirmed by the person that we want to know that we cute to them or whatever, like, cool. But like, that can't be the reason why you're looking for a partner, because that can't be the sole reason why you're looking for a partner, you know? Cause I feel like there's a lot there. You got to grow with a person. You got to become, you know, like, it's a whole other piece to it. So I think that's something I've been sitting with like recently, because I used to be somebody who wanted to like rush into things and, oh, like, unless we gonna be together, I don't want to talk to this man. Like, and it's like, hold on, hold on, because, you know, you can develop a friendship. You can still learn from people without it being, you know, a romantic relationship, but also you got to learn, okay, if it's not a romantic relationship, if we're not committed to each other, then what are your non-negotiables? What you're not going to do, so that you don't confuse yourself, okay? Because a lot of that be happening. So I think, like, get clear about, like, why you even want a relationship. And if the person that you feel like you vibe with also doesn't want a relationship, make peace with that as soon as possible so that y'all can maintain a healthy friendship and that you can go about your way and find love somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So.
That's preach. It. Amen. And side note, stop letting other motherfuckers influence y'all. Social media, your friends, your parents, your family members, any of that outside factors that is going to affect how you feel about me, bitch, leave me alone with that. Just saying. And I don't mean bitch in the sense of female. I mean, bitch, okay. Nigga, you a bitch too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, thank you. Because I was about to say, can we, you know.
Oh, yeah, no. We throw around the word bitch, but we don't ever use it directly into women.
Okay, appreciate that. Yeah. Cool.
Bitch is a very gender neutral.
No, right. For sure. You know, like, niggas in the South, niggas in Louisiana, you feel me? They throw around bitch like it's water.
Oh, my God. But nah, for sure. People have to be honest with themselves. Yeah, I can't speak for all women, but I will say it took me a while to, like, really sit with myself and be like, well, what do you really want a relationship for? And, like, really finding that answer. And now I'm in a whole different space, so. It is what it is.
Shout out to God.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Lessons get learned around here, okay? I have one last question on the list, which is, what is something you are really proud of and or grateful for right now?
I don't know why this is so hard to answer.
That's okay. Please reflect, because I know it's something. It's something.
You said, what am I proud of or grateful for?
Yes.
Oh,
go ahead, bro.
Proud of myself, just and proud of myself for being myself more recently. Standing in what that means, what that looks like, what the response to it looks like. Just proud that I'm not letting the influence of others and their reactions to who I am and who I feel like I need to be right now, not letting that affect that. And I think grateful for those who have always allowed me the space to be on that journey. Because I think the older you get, the more you realize that there aren't a lot of people that truly grant you the space to like navigate, bump your head, bounce off the walls, be all over the place, but they stay solid. And they just know that like you just going through life right now, my nigga. You transitioning. So this happens. Like when you bump your head, that mean we might bump heads for a little bit, but we good, you know. So proud of that and grateful for that, because I think that just, you know, makes me grateful for community, because it's not easy to create all the time, especially when you're not in the same place. You know, there's a lot of people that you're extremely close to. So, yeah, I would say that's what I'm most proud of and most grateful for, you know, in life right now.
That's right. Thank you for answering that, because it's very important.
Thank you.
We need to say that.
Okay? No, for sure. I think for me, I'm grateful for my sanity and like God. Like, there's only a few people know, like, last year just been a real roller coaster, like, as far as life. So for me to just be here, taking care of everything, everything's still flowing, ain't nothing crazy that went on. I've been able to, like, pay for anything or take care of anything that went on. So I'm just grateful for that.
No, that's right. Okay. I think for me, I am just generally grateful for my resilience, my ability to bounce back. Anything that happens, I really turn that shit into like fuel or something. I don't know. God be doing it, you know, really. So I'm grateful for that. I'm also proud of myself for leaving people the fuck alone. Because, you know, it just, you gotta leave people alone sometimes. And I'm really proud of myself for recognizing the value in that. For a long time, I thought by keeping people, I was doing everybody a favor, and I was not. So I'm just really proud of the journey, the progress, the growth. It's real. So, yeah. It's only getting better from here, too.
Nah, big facts. Big facts. Yeah, nah, we touched on a lot.
We did. Touched
on a lot of stuff. We did. Yeah. But man, no, I think you asked some amazing questions, Tyler. I know me and Pat talk about it all the time, but like we truly do love like being able to answer questions like that and have those kickstart conversations. And I don't know if Pat feels this way, but I know for me, like sometimes as men, like I know with Pat, I could call him up and talk about whatever, you know, but sometimes like these are things, at least like I know like me and him, we thinking about these things, like these are topics, these are themes that we have thoughts on, have opinions on, have experiences with, but the conversation doesn't always, you know, seem to be not full circle, but we don't always feel like we're getting all points, because there's only so much we can talk about and address and acknowledge as men, and we may have similar viewpoints or see things from the same perspective. So you asking some of the questions that you did and, you know, just even like holding the conversation that you did, I think was really, I know it was beneficial for me. I feel like it was beneficial for both of us. And I definitely hope that, you know, the audience watching was able to just take away something from, you know, seeing, you know, me and Pat answer some questions we probably haven't, you know, answered, you know, in a while, but also just from the conversation in general. I mean, like I said, we touched on a lot of different stuff. So I hope that, I know it's something in there to take away, you know, but I hope people, you know, between the jokes and everything,
really caught on to some of the gems that was in there as well from all of us. So,
absolutely. So yeah, I gained something. Yeah. I gotta say that I got some perspective. I'm for real. no BS, for real.
What perspective you gained? Yeah,
we ain't gotta talk about it right now. But no, really, it's good. And like, please feel free, like whether it's on here or just as friends offline, like we could talk about this stuff because it needs to be talked about. So, you know, I'm here for it. Everybody follow me at Tidal Wordsmith. That's it.
That's all I got. Follow the new podcast as well. Okay. You know, don't forget that, you know, plug all that, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
I'm gonna type in.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you for having me.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, shit, it's been real. It's been chill. It's been a while. So we had to pop a couple seals, you feel me? Next week, we're going to have some more spills, thrills, and chills. You know, it's Halloween, so it's getting real. Actually, it's November, so shit, it's getting a little chilly. So why don't you go ahead and get that turkey out that oven? We'll be back next week, cousins. So, please.
Love it.